This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Philly's Backstage, a special edition of Philly's Backstage. Tom and John here, and we are at the home of Bernie Perrant.
Not only the home of Bernie Perrant, Tom, wow. We are out on a deck overlooking the bay in Avalon, a gorgeous day. Someone says we have a tough job, and I just can't say that we do.
Job? It's not a job, John. No, this is not working. Bernie, thanks for joining us. This is really great.
Yeah, this is good to see you guys, man.
Well thanks for letting us join you. I mean, I feel like we're invading your house here, but thanks for being so welcome.
You are in the way, but that's all right.
He's in the way. I'm fine, right, Bernie? I was going to say, Bernie, and, you know, one of the last times we saw you, well, I just saw you a couple weeks ago, but one of the last times we saw you professionally, you were throwing out the first pitch.
Yep.
Was that not the greatest first pitch in all of Philly's history? You have Bernie, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, flyers of all time.
Yeah.
You have Dr. J, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, sixer of all time. You had Brandon Graham, just won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, superstar, obviously. And then you had Mike Schmidt, arguably the greatest Philly of all time, all throwing out the first pitch to Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins, and Shane Victorino.
Bang. That was a classic, Bernie.
Wasn't that cool? Wasn't that awesome?
Was that cool for you?
That was. You know what? You know what's nice? When we got done, we had to walk by the dugout, the Phillies, right? And, of course, I hugged a coach.
Yep. Rob Thompson, from Canada.
From Canada. And then I saw Harper. I looked at him in the eyes. He looked at me. And I said, "Hey, buddy." I said, "Touch the rings. It's a good luck charm."
Nice.
Okay? He touched the rings, and the first at bat, he hit the home run.
Yeah.
How about that?
The rings, Stanley Cup rings, John.
What are you doing today, Bernie? We might need to send the whole team, right? Or can we at least borrow your rings? Does it work without you or just the rings?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Sure.
That was just a great moment for us, too, Bernie. I mean, the Phillies making it to the World Series, the town just totally behind the team, great crowd. A great run for us. You follow the Phillies, and you're probably into that whole run
of
the Phillies.
Of course. Sure. But how many people were there now? Because I'm not sure.
45,000?
45,000, 50,000. And that sat there. It was my first live World Series game.
Really?
The first one. Yeah. You know, all right? And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching the crowd, you know, and the players too, but watching the excitement. You know, within the crowd, it was just incredible. You can't buy that. You know, you have to earn it. And they did.
And it's interesting because you were there, obviously, as a fan. You threw out the first pitch, but you're there as a fan. And yet, back in the 70s, here you are. They're screaming for you, and you're in that Bryce Harper role, right? I mean, so.
Yeah, but they're cheering for me, but it cost me a lot of money.
It's a different perspective.
But you know what? I'm so grateful. You know, grateful to have been quickly here to have been part of a Philly team. You know, it was incredible. And I have to share this quick little story with people. You know, you have to take risk in life. You know, calculated risk where you have to take risk. I remember when I was with Toronto at the time, I had learned how to play goal from Jacques Plante. My idol, you know, when I was a kid, is still my idol.
And his sister lived on the same street, right?
Next door to us.
Yep.
Yeah. He would come in once a summer, big open car, right? A big Cadillac. He would come out with a cowboy hat on and a cigar. And I was watching from the window, you know, that kitchen window. I had the shake, you know, just incredible to see him. But anyway, going back to quickly to my story was at the end of the second year, which I had learned so much from him, how to play a goal. By second year, the World Hockey League came in, okay? And I received a phone call, and they said, would you like to join us? Well, I said, let me think about it. National Hockey League forever. And, you know, a new league, the World Hockey League. So I thought about this, and I said, you know, what I learned from Plown, I said, if it doesn't work out, I'll come back National Hockey League. Well, it didn't work out, okay? So I came back to the National Hockey League, which you had to go back to your original team, which was Toronto. And I went back, and a few weeks later, Toronto traded me back to Philly, and the next 2 years we won two Stanley Cups. So if I didn't take the risk, I would have never played in Philly.
Well, let's go back to those years, and obviously you had, it's almost like you were the Sandy Koufax of hockey, where, you know, Sandy Koufax had arguably, you know, two or three of the best years ever in baseball. And Bernie, the people say that you had the two best years of any goalie. Obviously, you won the Vezina Trophy, right? And you won the Hart Trophy, right? Your team won it. But also, he had shutouts in the clinching games both years against the Bruins and the Sabres. Talk about the Bruins. I love you. You got to tell the great story. You've been on my radio show a bunch, and I've heard you. Mm-hmm. Tell the story about, you know, I guess Bobby Orr gets a penalty with 2 minutes and 20 seconds left, right?
Yeah.
But then, you take it from there.
Yeah. Then there's 10 seconds to go. We're at the Spectrum. 19,000 people, whatever. Everybody's cheering. Everybody's pumped, right? And there's 10 seconds left in the game, and the faceoff is in Boston's end, right? So they figure everything's fine. We have it made. So the linesman dropped the puck, and the puck goes back to Orr, okay? And Orr shoots the puck all the way down the ice. And I'm looking at this luck at the same time. And I think the puck missed the net by about 2 feet or whatever.
And wasn't Joe Watson screaming at you?
Joe was behind the net. You know, and he got behind the net and he said, Frenchie, what are you doing? What are you doing? We're winning this in the cup, for God's sake, you know. But you know, we think about this. We could have lost.
And we wouldn't be on this porch right now interviewing you because you'd be the goat, not the MVP.
Yeah, a different kind of goat.
Forget the poach, forget the house. I'd be swimming.
And then what, a day or two later, Bernie, the great parade. That's really where you saw the passion of the Philadelphia sports fan, right?
Yep. We the first year we each had individual cars, okay, but we didn't have any barriers, so a lot of cars got damaged. Rightfully so, in a way, because people were excited and the whole bit. Now, the second year, when we had the parade, think about this, we had the float. So I got on the float, right? And they said, you're sitting in the front row. Really? So I walk, you know, and the only seat open was next to Frank Rizzo. Remember Frank?
Well, of course.
You know, I love Frank. He's a good man. So finally, we get going. I'm sitting next to him. And I'm looking, and I said, Frank, I said, what the hell are you doing? He's looking up all the time, right? He said, oh, I'm looking for snipers. Really? I got up. I said, you're on your own, buddy.
I'll get in that other float.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, then you also, there was an issue, too. When we had our World Series parade in 2008, Dave Montgomery had the foresight to say on the floats, we're going to have, we need porta potties. We need restrooms on there. Well, you guys were in individual cars, so obviously you didn't have restrooms in the cars. So what happened when you had to... when you had to use a little bathroom break?
Well, we stopped the parade, of course, and I had four guards to take me to this home, you know, knock at the door. You know,
that's great.
Could I use your bathroom? Parade,
and
right?
She knew who you were, right? Or well, the person knew who you were?
Somebody told them.
Can you imagine, John?
Can you imagine that? But this is the beauty of living in Philly, you know? And then... a year later, guess what they did? They mounted the
porta potties right on the float.
On their wall.
Yeah, they had a little plot, Bernie Weed here.
Wow. I would have done the same thing.
The beauty of winning, you know.
So then awesome. the next year, Bernie, and I guess the thing that stands out against that finals against Buffalo was the fog game. And mm-hmm. and the thing I had to remember, and I was like, I had to look it up again because I was like, am I remembering this wrong? But when the bat arrived, yeah. there was yeah. a bat flying around. And then it was, so you had a bat flying around, which one of the Buffalo players, I think.
No, it was our buddy.
Bill Flett?
Our good friends. No. Rick McLeish
got it off the ice. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And then the fog came. And, Bernie, I know you've probably been asked about that game a million times. But, really, how hard was it to see that puck?
Well, you know what? That's why I have a radar on my boat now.
Radar. Yeah. That's a good idea.
But the Perot came in across the red line. You could only see from the waist up at that time, right? And he shot. From his motion, I could tell the puck was going to my left in the corner, okay? And but I couldn't see it. Mm. But I heard it hit the boards, and when it came out, somehow, I don't know how Robert saw it, but he took the one slap shot. I never saw it, and then it went in. Mm. You know, so.
Now, it's interesting because the French Connection, Gilbert, René Robert, and Rick Martin. Right? And then you ended up having a boat called the French Connection.
Yeah.
But that had no connection to their French Connection.
No, right. No, because
I hope not.
Because I want to be on the winning boat.
Right, of course.
Right. Exactly. Right.
And just, you know, that style of hockey back then was was very unique in the Broad Street Bullies, you know, it was just the tough, and nobody wanted to play you guys because you had Dave Schultz and you had, you know, Moose DuPont and you had Bob Kelly and Don Selesky and all these animals out there, right?
We had a good team. We had, you know what? Look, we had a great coach in Fred Chero, okay? And we had great players. We had great crowd, you know, a great city. The place was packed all the time. The crowd reacted to all the good stuff that we did on the ice, or just incredible.
Yeah.
You know?
Didn't Fred Chero get kidnapped in Atlanta? What was that story? Remember, like during the playoffs, like he disappeared, and I thought there was like a story that someone kidnapped him or something.
That's his story. I don't think he got kidnapped.
But Freddie, you never heard that story?
No, he claimed
Freddie,
that he did.
Yeah, Freddie was a good fighter when he was younger.
Right.
So it was funny because every time we played on the road, right, and it was a rule with the team. If Freddie showed up in the bar, you know, I was drinking then. I don't drink anymore. But anyway, if Freddie would show up in the bar before we did, we opened the door and Freddie was there. Close the door, and we had to go somewhere else.
Hmm.
And if a player was there and Freddie walked in, he did the same thing. So at the end of the game, you know, one guy would undress real fast. They didn't take a shower and boop, took off, you know, for the bar. So Freddie never had a chance.
Smart. Hey, Bernie, talking about the Broad Street Bullies, I know you didn't get into too many skirmishes, but were there times where you'd want to skate down the ice and join the fray?
Yep. Yeah, I remember when I played for Toronto, we had 2 minutes left in the playoffs against the Rangers. And a big brawl broke up in their zone. And Ed Jackaming was playing goal for the Rangers. Good friend, great, great friend of mine. And so I skated over with all the players. And Eddie grabbed me by the neck. I said, Eddie, I can breathe. Let me go. He said, now I'm going to squeeze a little bit harder. And then guess what happened? It's incredible. And Hatfield came in, took my mask, threw him in the stands.
Huh.
Think about this. Yeah. So I had no mask left.
Right.
Wow.
So Plount, 2 minutes left. Plount was, you know, the backup. I mean, you know, I was playing that game, so you had to finish the game. Then the next day, think about this. Somebody knocks at the door back in Toronto right around 8 o'clock. I said, what the hell's there at 8 o'clock in the morning? It was a father with his son. Little kid was around 11 years old. I said, hey, hi, you know, what's going on? He said, the little kid said, oh, we watched a game last night, Mr. Perron. We and we saw you lost your mask. I'm a goaltender. You could use my mask if you
want. Oh, how great is that?
Awesome. It gives me the goosebumps just talking about it.
Well, and about your mask, Bernie, when the Flyers won, beat the Bruins, one of the lasting memories for me was we got to see your face. You know, you always kept that mask on. Was that a superstition that you wouldn't take the mask off before you got off the ice?
Well, I had to keep it on because if I didn't keep it on, I'd get so many phone calls.
Well, that's true. The girls would be calling. They'd be lining up.
You'd be mobbed, right? You can see they're lining up right here on the dock here.
But John, I remember, John and I are the same age, Bernie, and, when we were 10 years old or so, almost 10, when you guys won, and I just remember thinking, there's Bernie. There he is. It was really cool for a fan to say, wow, that's what he looks like.
We had the record that, Gene Hart, the Flyers have won the Stanley Cup. The Flyers have won. And just, and anyone our age or whatever in that era, just what an exciting time. And absolutely. And what I love about it is that, like, for our 2018, Charlie Manuel doesn't have to buy a beer anymore or anything, right? He goes into a restaurant or bar. And people just, Philadelphians love, I mean, who made the quote? Something, you walk together in infamy?
Mm-hmm. Fred Shiro.
Right.
Yeah. And win today and we'll walk together forever.
Walk together forever. Yeah. I love the fact that you guys all, for the most part, most of you guys are still in the area.
Yeah.
Right? Joe Watson, Jimmy Watson, yourself. I mean, there's
Kelly
a lot. Bob Kelly. Right.
Schultz and a lot of guys. I take them out fishing once a summer. Yeah. They're a little bit scary. Maybe somebody might fall off, overboard.
They're used to the ice the water being frozen.
I thought there could be a fight on the boat or something.
No, and then they fall in, and then we keep on fishing, and we're 80 miles offshore. It's good night, Irene.
Would you guys fish as a club back in the day, Bernie? I know when you were living in Canada. Alaskan I just came from Alaska, and we were eating the Alaskan salmon, I guess we'd all get together and do some fishing up there, too.
Oh, yeah. Huh? Yeah, we did. We did during when I played for Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Okay. And I shared the duties with Doug Favell. Remember Doug? Yeah.
Sure.
And we won the Memorial Cup, the second year, which was awesome. And we did so many things. Niagara Falls was a beautiful place, And I don't know if you ever been there, but if you have to go there. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And the freedom, the fun we had was incredible.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yep. How about back then? Did you, during the 70s, were you tight with the other sports teams? Did you hang out with Mike Schmidt and Larry Bowa and Greg Luzinski? Did you guys know each other? Because it seems like right now in this day and age, like a lot of the teams are supporting everybody else. Bryce Harper will go over to the Flyers games or go over to the Eagles games. Reese Hoskins with a bunch of guys. Was it kind of that community as well?
Well, we did, but not as much as today. Like you said, today is it's a shame because you look back and you look at the team, the team the Phillies had was incredible. Mm-hmm. And I always refer, and in the old days when Boa was playing Mike Schmidt and what's his name, Luzinski.
Craig, the Bull.
The Bull and all those guys. That was they had a great team, but also personality-wise, they were just, people just love those guys.
Yeah, what a year that was. 1980, everybody went to the finals. I guess the Phillies were the only team to win that year. But I always think, Bernie, did you ever watch a baseball game and look at the catcher position? Because I always think the two most dangerous positions, I think, in sports are goalie and catcher. But I think you would have been a good catcher if you played baseball. No?
Well, depends on the pitcher.
That's right. No, but if the pitcher's wild, you'd be able to snag everything. You'd block everything, Bernie, you know.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. I love baseball, number one. You know, it's a great sport. And, you know, it's exciting, especially when, let's talk about in today's world, you know, the excitement they have. You know, the hitters that they have, and it's just, I'm glad that Harper is coming back, you know, and what a great leader, what a great individual, and the rest of the team, you know, they're awesome, well coached, and you know what, in addition to this, you have 45,000 people at the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what gets you going.
And I guess, like, back in your day, the leader, you know, Clarke is obviously the captain, right? But he was probably more the quiet leader, right? And yep. then you had, like, Joe Watson, who might have been more not the quiet leader.
Joe could have sang an opera.
Bill Barber was quiet, right? Yeah, Reggie Leach, quiet. Rick McLeish.
Yeah, Reggie, no, was you had this moment.
Okay.
You know? But not like me or, you know, Bob Kelly or whatever.
Yeah,
we had fun in the dressing room. What we did, like, I explained this to the people, what we did was always we close the door without the coach, you know, anybody else, just the players. And then once in a while, we all went around and say what's wrong and what's right with the team,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be honest. You know, and then we found we work on the weaknesses, and we knew what the strengths were. And then they made us a team. Yeah. And you know what? I shared this with people. If you want to succeed in life, doesn't mean just in sports, in life in general, you have to be part of a team. You can't succeed on your own.
Yep.
You have to be part of a team. And when you're in sports, of course, you know, you don't win, like you say, the last two games. The two Stanley Cups were won by shutouts. Well, you don't have a shutout, you know, by yourself. You have a shutout because you have a good team. Joe Watson, maybe. But I'm just kidding. I love Joe. But you do this as a team, you know. And life in general is that way. Surround yourself with a good team. Start dreaming, and bingo, then it happens.
Was Joe as mean to the players as he was to me when I first played for the Flyers alumni? Because, yeah. Bernie, I played in the first game of the Flyers alumni. Joe was nice enough to invite me to play, and I'm the only non-NHL guy on the team. And my first shift, the puck comes up the boards. I'm playing left wing, and it glances off my stick. Now, I'm going to still get the puck because the defenseman had backed out. And I'm already nervous, and I hear from the bench Joe going, "You blanket, 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 get that blanket, blanket. A blank, a blank," and I'm already, you know, nervous enough now. It certainly didn't help me.
And Joe was loud enough to do it. Yeah,
I love Joe. And is there anybody, love Joe Watson, is there anybody who's got a stronger handshake than Joe Watson?
Oh, no. He's a, you know what, here's a prime example, a team player, you know. And Joe was the team player on defense. You know, he, smart. When I go quickly here, learned to play goal behind Joe was his philosophy was always we had good communication. He would play the man. This is why the game has changed today. He said he would play the man, okay? Now, if you're in front of me here and your left hand shot, 9 out of 10 times, most of the time, 10 out of 10, the shot will go to my gloves.
The blocker.
The blocker, because that's where the opening was. If it was a right hand shot, then the shot will go on the glove side. All those things, you know, you have to pay attention. And Joe was a good teacher at that. Now,
he would force something one way that you knew was coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. And you know, today you look at the goalies, and all the goalies in National Hockey League, not one or two, all the goalies are wearing the same pads, okay? And I, you know what, I don't mind sharing this publicly because it affects me, the way the boys are playing today. They're good goalies, don't misunderstand me. But the pads are so stiff that they can't move their feet sideways.
Mm.
So if there's a shot on the ice, if they don't drop to their knees, it goes in automatically. That's why when the shot is taken, they always drop to to their knees with the legs spread out a little bit. So if the shot is on the ice, then they make the save.
And sports change. Obviously, you know, our guys, the guys like Bull and Schmidt and all those guys, I'm sure they're watching the game and they're seeing how the game has changed in baseball, just different styles. And for you, you were one of the last stand-up goalies, right? And then Patrick Roy, I'm not sure who started, but everyone remembers Patrick Roy with the butterfly saves and everything, right? But you were more the stand. You were one of the last of the stand-up goalies.
Yeah. But the difference is in those days they have the choice. They had a choice to drop to their knees or stand and use their feet. Prime example was Tony Esposito. Mm-hmm. Tony had the butterfly style that you call, but he could always stand up, and Glenn Hall was the same way. They could always stand up and use their feet if they had to. You know, but today you can't. You don't have the options. This is why your goalies now almost have to be 6'6".
Right.
Because by the time they drop to their knees, they become 5'6".
Right.
You know? Yeah. Big difference.
You had a great moment at Citizens Bank Park. Talk about that day when you came back as part of the alumni for the Winter Classic.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool to step on the ice, you know, and we had how many people?
Yeah, we had 45,000 or so.
45,000. And then I looked a little bit. Somebody threw stuff at me on the ice.
Mm.
Yeah, because they didn't like the way I was moving. And the one guy, now I look back, looks like him, though.
Who's John throwing a battery?
Sure. But anyway.
It's my brother, sorry.
Yeah.
Dollar bill.
Yeah.
Nobody was, Bernie. Fact is, first of all, you must have been nervous, I would think.
Yeah.
Second of all, I was crying like a baby. I had tears in my eyes to see you come back on the ice, Bernie. It was one of the greatest moments.
Wasn't it cool?
It
and
was.
Then at the end. With
Ron Duguay?
Yeah,
Duguay,
a minute to go or whatever. He comes on the breakaway. I said, oh, my God. Why is this
You weren't
happening?
Saying ooh-la-la, right?
No. And, you know, he came down and shot on me on purpose. I could tell he shot on purpose. And before the referee grabbed the puck, I hugged him and I said, why'd you do this? I knew what he did, right? He said, he said, people would have shot me if I would have.
That is true.
You know what's the greatest thing, Tom, is I'm just thinking about this, is, you know, Philadelphia can be a tough town, as we've seen, you know, with everything that's going on. But it can be, and it is, the greatest sports fans in the country, right? Or
I could almost say
in the world. So, but think about it, like, it is a very scrutinizing fan base. So very rare is it where somebody probably has never been booed. I'm sure it might have happened, but think about it. Dr. J, I can't imagine, you know, ever been booed.
Nope.
Bernie, my guess is never been booed, right? Chase Utley, right?
Yeah,
maybe, right?
So.
Maybe, you know, but probably not, right?
Yeah.
So there are certain beloved athletes. I'm trying to think of the Eagles. Who would be the most beloved Eagle? Wilbur Montgomery?
Reggie
White.
Going back some years, Chuck Bednarik.
Chuck Bednarik, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but Bernie, I think you're in that kind of that, and I don't think Bobby Clark, you know, also, because everyone loved his story and his leadership and all that.
No doubt.
So, that, you know, you're in that small group that is almost just that legendary.
Mount Rushmore, that's what we
call it. Mount Rushmore of Philadelphia, which has got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just incredible. And when you look at this, I'll show you the first ring we got. Next year, think about this now. Next year will be 50 years since we won the first cup. 50 years.
Yeah, and look at you. You look great.
And not that for 100 years old. Yeah. But
Tom says there's three phases in life, youth, middle age, and looking good. Looking good phase.
No, but anyway, I'm trying to set that up with Snyder Hockey, which represents, you know, Ed Snyder,
yep,
the whole bit, to bring the Stanley Cup back in Philly and have a big party, you know, and get together with the people to remember. Think about this. It's incredible how fast life goes. 50 years ago already.
Crazy.
It's hard to believe. I remember where I was, John. I remember I was too young to go to the parade, so my mom took us out to the local place, and somebody threw a rock through our window.
Is that right? Fact,
driving down up Old York Road.
Hey,
yes.
Wait a second. Did you make the save?
I didn't have my mask on. I think it caught me right in the head.
Hey, oh, that's what happened. Yeah.
Bernie, and hey, Bernie, I remember too. You wrote a book. You know, came out back in the day, and I tell you, talking about lessons, and you're giving us some life lessons too. But one of the things that really got me, and I remember it from, I mean, Bernie, I was 10 years old. I'm reading your book, but you were always accountable. They said after every game that we lost, that you know, and you were the goaltender, you'd come in the locker room and you'd say, "Boys, that was on me. That was my fault."
Yeah.
You know, how important is that, especially as a teammate?
It was important to say this in front of people, but when the door was closed, it wasn't my fault.
That's right.
Who is the
blame Joe Watson?
Who is the scariest skater? When they came down the ice, you did not want to face their shot, like Bobby Hull or somebody. Who is the most intimidating player when they're coming down that ice? You're like, oh man.
Last year, I got the pleasure to meet Bobby Hull again before he passed away, and he was in a wheelchair, and he looked at me. And said, wave at me, come on over, give me a big hug. And I remember my first game against National Hockey League, because my goal, and I shared this with people, hopefully we have some young kids listening here, I shared this with people, you know, visualize, you know, and if criticism comes along, push that aside and keep moving towards your passion, you know. And my passion was to play National Hockey League. Now think about this. So I went to Boston training camp. I was 20 years old, and then they sent me to Oklahoma, you know, the farm team. But still, I didn't want to be there. My passion was the National Hockey League, constantly. 5 weeks later, the two goalies, Jerry Cheevers and Johnson, got hurt. Something they couldn't play, so they called me up. Okay, think about this. My first game was in Chicago, against Bobby Hull, Sen Mikito, and all those guys. And I was 20 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget Bobby Hull with, you know, big shoulders, mm-hmm. curved blade, you know, big smile on his face, would come across the blue line, between the blue line and the circle. He would line up, and I said, please, Lord, let him score.
Don't let it hit me.
You know what? His shot was 120 miles an hour. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
That's it. It's the most dangerous.
Hey, if he scored, that would go and shake his hand. Good shot, buddy. Yeah.
Would you step in front of that shot, John?
No. You couldn't catch me playing goalie. I did play lacrosse goalie a little bit, but very rarely.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
All right. Well, Tom, you want to set it up?
Yeah. Well, John, every week, Bernie, he always works on a quiz. And he's got a quiz about your life. We have some theme music. Should we play the theme music?
Yeah, we could play the theme music. And then afterwards, we'll tell him what he was going to win.
All right. Here is our theme music, Bernie. Here it comes.
Thanks for the visit. Let's get down to business. Now here's your chance to show how much you really know. He might get grumpy if he can't stop you with Brazier's Quiz.
There is our theme music. Isn't that beautiful song, Bernie?
Oh, that's awesome. You know, well, I could listen to this the whole day long.
You're a big fan of Skip Denenberg. So,
that's right.
All right, Bernie, you have to get, there's 8 questions, okay? It's multiple choice about your life, right?
Listen, I'm French now. That's 6, 7, 8. 8 yes, questions,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You have to get 6 out of 8, and if you get 6 out of 8, even if you don't get 6 out of 8, but we'll say if you get 6 out of 8, I know you've got some grandkids. The Fanatic has promised he'll sign some books to some of your grandkids.
Oh, sorry.
To all of your grandkids,
yep.
Assuming you don't have more than 35.
I have 120. I had an exciting life.
Lost count, John. Lost count.
All right, Bernie, are you ready for the quiz?
Yes. Shoot.
All right. I'll even
hold on a second. Shoot.
Score.
Joe Watson, I need your help. Go ahead.
That's the other thing, too, not to go before the, but, you know, we've also been blessed by some of the greatest announcers in all time, Harry Callis and Merrill Reese and, you know, Gene Hart. That's what we grew up with, Gene Hart. And what a great announcer he was.
Yeah.
You know,
just,
you can't.
Gene was the best.
Just
Gene,
a legendary.
Gene was the best. It was my best friend in Philly. Mm. What a great individual. And then his daughter.
Larnhardt, yeah.
He must be so proud that we she's singing, you know.
Well, Gene was an opera singer, wasn't he?
He was.
I thought he was an opera singer back.
I think so, yeah.
So
yeah.
Obviously, he's
great voice.
All right, Bernie, ready? Shoot. Question number one. I will even let you on one of the questions if you have no idea and you need Tom as your lifeline, because he doesn't know these questions.
I don't know if I know Bernie's life as much as Bernie knows his life, but go ahead.
Question number one. You are from Rosemont, Quebec, right? A suburb of Montreal. Which I love Montreal, by the way. I'd love to see baseball come back to Montreal. Which of these celebrities was not born in Montreal? Three of them were born in Montreal. One was not. You got to tell me which one was not. Okay.
Well, if you give me the name.
Well, I'm going to give you the names right here. Yeah. Ready? William Shatner, Michael J. Fox, Peter Sellers, and Leonard Cohen. I don't know if you know Leonard Cohen's a singer-songwriter.
Well, the four of them weren't born.
They weren't born?
No. They weren't born in
No, three of them were. Three of them were born in Montreal.
Really?
One was not.
Oh.
William Shatner, Michael J. Fox, Peter Sellers, Leonard Cohen.
Oh, well.
You can use a lifeline. Help.
I have to mention one name, right? One more. Can you give me the name again?
Give me that list.
Michael Shatner, or William Shatner, you know, he's on Star Trek. Michael J. Fox, Peter Sellers, or Leonard Cohen?
First one.
William Shatner, Peter Sellers. Sorry.
Peter Sellers.
Yeah, William Shatner is from Montreal.
You know, you mentioned the Expos, John.
It gets easier, Bernie.
It gets easier.
Yeah, thanks.
The Expos came, I guess, let's see, they came in like the mid-60s, I think. But so when they came to Montreal, were you in tune to that, Bernie, that baseball was coming to Montreal or not really?
Yeah. Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. That? The Expos. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were great, man. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Great team.
And I know our players love going on road trips to Montreal, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful city.
Great city. Yep.
Yeah. All right, question number two, it gets easier, and this is more hockey.
Okay.
As you mentioned, you said it earlier, you won the OHA Championship and the Memorial Cup in 1965, right, before playing with the Bruins. Which one of these guys was not a teammate? So three of these guys were a teammate on that team. One was not. Guys, you're going to have to go back in the time machine.
Go ahead, shoot.
All right. So one's a fake name, and three are real teammates. Don Marcotte, Jacques Lebel, Jean Pronovost, Derek Sanderson.
Okay, Sanderson was, Pronovost was, what
and
are the
it's down
two?
To Don Marcotte and Jacques Lebel.
Jacques Lebel.
Jacques Lebel's. I made that.
You made that?
I made that name up.
That's just a Canadian name you made up.
I just made it up, right. it's Jim the Beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Right, Jacques is Jim, right?
So I won that one.
You did. You're one for two. All right.
Yep.
In your first year with the same theme, in your first year with the Flyers was 67-68, which was not a teammate that year, okay? Which was not a teammate? Andre Lacroix.
Well, I know you weren't.
I was not.
Okay.
I was not.
Andre Lacroix?
Lacroix, Larry Zidel, Lou Angotti, Philippe Aumont.
Aumont.
Aumont was a pitcher on
the Phillies.
from Canada.
Yeah.
From Quebec.
Yeah.
Hey John, we didn't even talk about, I mean, Bernie, that was the first year of the Philadelphia Flyers. I guess the crowds probably weren't that, it took a while for the city to.
I remember playing in front of 2,500 people at the Spectrum. And you know what? Were you alive then?
Yes.
In 65?
Yes.
Because I remember,
barely.
Even then, at 2,500, people threw stuff at me on the ice for a bad game. And I swear, the guys look just like him.
You look just like John. 2,500 guys that look like you, John.
I was 2 months old, Bernie. I don't think I had the arm back then.
You didn't have the arm?
I didn't have the arm back then. All right. This one's about our buddy Joe Watson.
Yeah.
How many goals did Joe Watson score in his 11 years with the Flyers? How many goals did Joe Watson score in his 11 years with the Flyers? Was it 52, 19, 36, 22?
52.
No, 36.
Really?
36. That was a tough one.
That was a tough one.
All right. I think they do get easier.
Number five.
Number five. Name the one American baseball player amongst the Canadians. So there's three Canadians, one American that are playing now.
Yeah.
Okay. Freddie Freeman, Brandon Marsh, Joey Votto, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Oh, wow.
Only one is an American out of that group?
Only one's an American.
Wow, how about
Freddie
that?
Freeman, Brandon Marsh, Joey Votto, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. You can use a lifeline to Tom Burgoyne in this one if you want to help. Tom, you want some help, Bernie?
The first one?
Well, it's Freddie Freeman, Brandon Marsh, Joey Votto, or Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Who's the American?
I'll go with Bernie on that one. Freddie Freeman.
How well do you know our team?
Is it Brandon Marsh? Brandon Marsh? Yeah, I was going to say Brad Marsh. I'm in fire mode.
You didn't help out there.
That's what we said, right?
Yeah, we said Brandon Marsh.
Right. You know what? I misunderstood. Yeah. You are right. Yeah. You got that.
I'm not going to go against Bernie. Come on.
All right. During the 1973-74 season, Dave Schultz had 348 penalty minutes. Who was second on the team with 216? Okay, second to Dave Schultz in that 73-74 season in penalty minutes. Was it Bob Kelly, Gary Dornhofer, Don Selesky, or Andre Dupont?
Ed Van Imp.
Ed Van Imp. No, it wasn't Ed Van Imp.
It wasn't Ed. No. Say this again. Say the
Who was second in penalties? Was it Bob Kelly, Gary Dornhofer, Don Selesky, or Moose Dupont?
Oh, that's between Kelly and Dupont.
You're on the right track.
Yeah. I'll use Kelly.
What do you say,
I was going to say Moose.
All right, we'll go with that one. Andre Dupont is correct.
Yeah,
Moose.
There you go.
All right,
that's
Bernie.
What I said. You misunderstood.
Yeah, I was his lifeline on that one.
Yeah, sure.
How many? I never know whether players in any sport know their stats, right? So, do you know how many career wins you had? I'm going to give you a multiple choice.
270 or something.
Wow.
You got it?
271.
271.
All right. You didn't even need multiple choice in that one.
Oh, God.
So I think you've already qualified, but we're going to give you one last one because I'm looking at your boat, right? Right in the water.
Yep.
Beautiful boat. What's the name of the boat?
The Italian. Wait a second. It used to be called, like you said,
the French Connection. So now it's the Italian.
Now I got married. It became
the Italian French Connection. Wow, that's right.
Smart man, Bernie.
Yeah, very smart.
Happy wife, happy life, right, Bernie? Yeah. All right. You are a fisherman, right?
Yes.
What is the fastest fish in the seas? The fastest fish. In fact, it has been clocked at 70 miles an hour.
Well, one thing for sure, it's not you.
Maybe your daughter, John. She's a good swimmer.
All right, name
her. All right, what is the fastest fish at 70 miles an hour? Is it a swordfish? Is it a wahoo? Is it a sailfish? Or is it a black marlin? So swordfish,
wahoo,
sailfish, black marlin.
Wahoo.
What are you going, Tom?
I like wahoo.
Sailfish. Sailfish has clocked at 70 miles per hour. That's a pretty fast fish.
It is. Yeah. I say barracuda, but...
Oh, you know why? It. You know why I said wahoo? Because we don't catch sailfish here. They're down south.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The wahoo are down there.
Florida, but we have wahoo and the whole bit. Wahoo, they'll swim 45, 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, and they can also consume twice their weight in water.
Mm-hmm. Wahoos?
Yeah, because that's the nickname of University of Virginia is the Wahoos, and that's because back then it used to be a big party school, and they could drink twice their weight in beer.
Here's an idea.
How about that?
I'll take you guys out fishing, okay?
Yes.
We'll go offshore 70 miles out, and we'll see who's fastest, the wahoo
John Brazier, wahoo.
John.
How about if it's John Brazier versus Tom Burgoyne?
That could work.
God.
Well, should we be wrapping it up, John? We could be out here all day. We got a doubleheader today, John.
We do.
Yeah. So
hey, that was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We really appreciate you joining us, Bernie, and letting
Always
us come
pleasure,
over.
Bernie.
Yeah, thanks,
and
Bernie.
What this will go down as the best setting we've ever had for a podcast interview.
Best view we've ever had.
Look at this, Tom. We're going to get a picture and actually put it on the something.
Yeah, sure.
Where are we going to put it, Tom?
Well,
I'll put it on my Facebook post.
You have promised me one thing. Don't put it In the bathroom or something.
In the bathroom, yeah.
Right. Only the lady in South Philly can do that.
All right. Hey, Bernie, thanks again. And,
all right, guys.
We'll be ready to see you next time, right, John?
Yep.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And we'll see you next time on Philly's Backstage.